This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
God bless you, my brothers and my sisters. I thank God for the opportunity to be home. There is no place like home. And to celebrate a man of God, a man of faith, my elder brother, my spiritual father, my good friend, my confidant, Pastor Thurman Neal Tillman, 39 years being at the helm of the First African Baptist Church here in Savannah, Georgia. I am delighted, I am excited, I am humbled to have been asked to share in this very momentous occasion. 39 years is quite a feat, and to God be the glory, to you, to Sister Tillman, to the Tillman family. I just thank God for you and the role that you played in my life, and thank God for our continued friendship and fellowship, and thank God for the First African Baptist Church family, who helped to kind of mold me and shape me into the man that I am today. And I thank God for you. And I love each of you. And I pray God's blessings on this 39th pastoral anniversary, that God's grace will continue to rest with this great church and with this great family of faith. Amen. Let's just pray together as we get started today. God, we are so grateful for yet another day that you have blessed us. Thank you, God, for 39 years. That you've blessed this church family, that you've blessed this pastor. God, you have been with him down through the years. And we are so grateful, God, to have this opportunity to celebrate the man of God that you've placed in this mountain. Now, God, as we go into your word, we pray, God, that you would guide us and strengthen us, clear our minds of anything that is not like you, that we would focus on you and you alone. Hear our prayer this day, O God, attend unto our call. And if there's someone lost, God, let something be said that would pierce their hearts and cause them to fall out with their sinful ways and come running to you. Again, God, we love you, we honor you, we bless your name, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Again, to God be the glory. Great things he has done, great things God is doing, and all that God shall do in our lives. And I know you're at home and you're comfortable and everything, so I wanna get into the word before I lose you, and you go into another room and going to do something else. So we want to move right into God's word on this day. And it is taken out of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse, ending with verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 10. And as the pastor shared with me, he said, you know, you have to have a so-called pastoral anniversary sermon, preach the word. And so I want to be clear on that assignment. This is for everybody, including Pastor Tillman, but also all of us who are blood-bought believers of Christ. There you will find these words in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to use as a subject, as we prepare to preach today, I want to use this subject, a thought. You got to keep on standing. You got to keep on standing. My brothers and my sisters, we're living in times when we've seen a lot of problems, a lot of perplexities in our day. But I often say that not only have we seen some things, and not only have we experienced some things in our day, but if you go back 100 years ago, those people would say the same thing. They've experienced some trials, some tribulations. Matter of fact, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, they understand pitfalls. They understand trials and tribulation. They understand that every day is not a sunny day, that there's some rain that's going to fall in life. That every day is not a mountaintop experience. That all of us in life will endure some valley moments, some low moments, some tough moments in our life. But I like it. I like what he says to the church at Ephesus. I like what he says to us, Pastor Tillman, as we navigate and we pastor the Lord's people. I like what he says to us, my brothers and my sisters, as you endure life itself. He says to us, you got to keep on standing regardless of the times in which we're living, regardless of the ups and downs that might perplex our time and our day. We still are not given the green light to wave the white flag, but we got to keep standing in the midst of the trials and the tribulations of our day. In fact, the Sunday school lesson, as you will remember, was talking about Lamentations with Jeremiah. Jeremiah talked about rough times. Jeremiah talked about times that he felt like crying, and times that he even asked God, why did you even create me? Because the times were so tough. The times were so hard. But yet and still, if you keep on reading through that, through the accounts of Jeremiah, he eventually says to us, as we inspire one another right now, you got to keep on standing. Paul in this text is ending his letter to the people of Ephesus. He has talked to them about family. He's talked to them about survival. He's talked to them about making it through the maze of life. Here he is about to go off the stage. And he says to them, lastly, one final thing I want to say. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What a challenge. How many times has Pastor Tillman challenged us? Be strong in the Lord. How many times have he told us over the years, over 39 years, that you got to keep on toiling, you got to keep on looking to the hills from which cometh your help, and realize that all your help comes from the Lord? Keep on standing. That's what he was saying. What a challenge. No matter what you go through, he said, be strong. No matter what the storm is, be strong. No matter how heavy the load is, he said, be strong. What our grandparents used to say to us, y'all remember grandpa and grandma used to tell us that, be strong, stand up, do what's right, do what's pleasing in the sight of God. That's what old coaches used to tell us back in the day. You got to be strong, you got to stand firm. That's what the leaders of our time have always said to us, you got to be strong. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, in this time in which we're living, we got to be strong in the Lord. In this church, as a little boy, as I come to First African, I always reminisce. I always go back, and some of you remember a woman by the name of Stella Reeves, who used to sit down and sell candy after Sunday school. And there were times 40 years ago that I'm just walking around, and I'm just kind of shuffling my feet and all of that. And Miss Reeves would holler out, Roscoe, straighten your back up. She would see me slump down in my chair at church, and she'd say, sit up straight. Sit up straight. In other words, she was trying to say, be strong. She was getting me ready for life. Here I am 40 years later, and I'm still quoting her because she had made it such an impact in my life. It's what Harriet Tubman told us. It's what Marcus Garvey told us. That's what Booker T. Washington told us. It's what Nat Turner and Dingman Vesey was telling us. Be strong in the Lord. It's what George Lau was telling us. Be strong in the Lord. Thurman Tillman, be strong in the Lord. Paul adds a twist. Be strong in the Lord. Strength is connected to God. Knowing where your power is the trick to the whole thing. You got to know your power source. I don't care how much you paid for your phone. If you don't plug it in and charge it up, it's not going to work. One of your great deacons will tell you, you can have all the technology you want, but if you don't hit the power button, then nothing's going to happen. You got to be connected. That's how we're connected to God. He said, be strong in the Lord. Song is God. You remember the song, Joy and the Strength of My Life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. Recognizing the source of power is the key. Listen, it is not your education. It is not your money. It's not your car. It's not the color of your skin. No, it's the Lord. Strong in the Lord denotes consistent relationship. She ain't about your religion. It's about your relationship. It's about a continual relationship with the Almighty God. Staying connected to the Creator is your power source. That's how we're going to be able to stand in the latter day. That's how we're going to endure the trials of this day. We're going to have to be connected to God. Power is not in us, it's in God. And once you take on the power of God, you can't help but be transformed. Transformationing, transforming power is what comes from the Almighty God. He said in one occasion, St. Paul says it like, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you'll be able to stand. Without it, he said, you're going to fail. Without it, you're going to falter. Without it, you're not going to make it. Satan will tear you up when you're all by yourself. Many of us have tried to fight him armless. Don't have the armor of God on us. And I've come to report to you, it's impossible. He's too powerful. You're no match for him alone. Ah, but you got a big brother that stands by your side. Satan will outsmart you on your own. Ah, but you got somebody on your side, brothers and sisters, who will stand and fight against the enemy. Yeah, you gotta know him. He can handle our enemy. He can handle the opposition. And the devil knows it too. The devil knows. Note how Paul shifts in this text. First he's speaking of armor, which denotes a soldier, which denotes a group. Then he moves to wrestling. But both ways you do battle. Watch this. Both ways you do battle. As a soldier, you do battle, but you got some others there with you, around you, in a group. But wrestling ain't a group situation. Wrestling is one-on-one in most cases. Yeah, the wrestler gets his opposer on the other side. It's one-on-one. He moves from a group, then he moves into wrestling one-on-one, a single activity. He says, we wrestle, Lord have mercy, not against flesh and blood. See, many times we mess up in this group concept because we're not fully developed. But when it comes to self, when it comes to being you one-on-one, you can't hide behind nobody else. You got to have yourself together. You got to be ready to do battle. You say you wrestle. Hard to function in a group, man. But when you get to I myself, I can't blame nobody else. In a group, I can blame the other person, but when it's just me, when it's wrestling, it's me against that opponent. Oh, my brothers, it tells us something. You got to work on self. You got to be enhanced by self. You see, the reality is, old Job showed us that. Job would tell you, Job would say, yeah, I was in a family situation. Lost all my family, then I had myself. I had to deal with God, me and God. I had some friends around me that was talking kind of crazy. My wife was talking kind of crazy, but I also had to deal with this one-on-one with God. My brothers and my sisters, I don't care who you are, at some point you got to deal one-on-one with God. Oh, yes. It's not always a group situation. Sometimes it's just you, your opponent. Sometimes it's just you and God. It's hard to stand against the wiles of the devil when you desire, to do it on your own. Yeah, you can't do it. It's an impossible situation. Yeah, but when you're rolling with Jesus, I tell you, he'll give you a power that will enable you to stand against the enemy. Then you must, when you talk about the enemy, you got to identify the enemy, or you end up fighting the wrong fight, blaming the wrong enemy, hating the wrong enemy. It's not him or her. Verse 12 gives us the answer. It says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's principalities of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. What is that? Most say, oh, they're talking about the president. Oh, no, it's higher than that. He's talking about Satan and his fallen angels. Yeah, he's talking about spiritual wickedness. He's called the prince of the air. The devil is real, beloved. His power is real. And though you may not be possessed by the devil, you can be influenced by the devil. You may not be possessed, but you are influenced by the devil because he seeks to do that. Then the verse is not about people. It's something spiritual. Speaks to Satan again and his fallen angel. John tells us in Revelation 12:9, the devil and his followers is what he calls it. Evicted from heaven. And what are they doing now? Seeking to influence. That's what they're doing. Seeking whom they may devour. That's what they're doing. Seeking to speak to our minds, to influence us against the will of God. And that's why we celebrate our pastor. That's why we celebrate our leader, because he keeps us on point to be reminded, to stay focused, to stay connected to the great creator. Week after week, telling us the story. Week after week, Bible study after Bible study, reminding us. How many times have you heard him say it? Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Reminding us to be strong in the Lord. Reminding us to be focused on him. Oh, those fallen angels and Satan tries to keep us against the grain of God. That's why we need a man of God to keep us focused. So to defeat him, the text says, this is what you got to do. Put on the whole armor of God. Yes, yes, put it on. We can stand against the wiles of this negative force, that negative power. But the soldier must be prepared to stand. You got to keep your war clothes on. Listen, as a believer, God don't call you to the playground. God calls you to the battleground. A lot of time, beloved, that's where we miss the point. We've been playing so much, shucking and jiving so much. God is saying, no, I didn't call you to no playground. I called you to a battleground. Yeah, he called us to fight the fight of faith. In other words, we got to be willing to defend the faith. You can't defend the faith if you don't know nothing about the Bible. You can't defend the faith if you don't find yourself in Sunday school or Bible study, equipping our, having an opportunity to undergird yourself in God's word, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not called to a playground, we're called to a battleground. In other words, we got to be able and willing to stand firmly on God's holy word. And I want y'all to know something, the enemy ain't never gonna quit. Not until history is rolled up like a scroll. He's continued. Now the enemy knows it's a battleground. He never stops. He never takes a break. He never takes a vacation. Grandmama say he's always busy. He'll disrupt your house. He'll disrupt your finance. He'll disrupt your health. He'll disrupt your mind. He's powerful. He's influential. But there's a God who sits high and looks low. There's a God who's able to defeat that raging dragon. Once you get wrapped up and tied up in him, you'll discover that he's a keeper. You'll discover that he's a deliverer. You'll discover that he's an encourager. You will discover that he's a sustainer. God will give you power that you might be able to stand. Isaiah 59 said this, and I'm closing. He said this, so the enemy may come upon you like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against you so that you can stand. My brothers and my sisters, someone was about to quit. Somebody listening to me was about to throw in the towel. But you heard the preacher say today, don't you quit. Don't you surrender. Don't you throw in the towel. Yes, it gets rough sometimes. Yes, the road gets kind of rocky sometimes. Yes, the winds will blow sometimes. But if you just keep on standing, keep on toiling, keep on moving, there's a God who will give you strength to endure the battle. Lord, have mercy. We sing that song, when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, I come to declare to you today, the battle is not over. Come on off the playground and get on in the battlefield and do what God has instructed us to do. And that songwriter said it right, y'all, and I'm done. That songwriter said it right. He said, I promise him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Thank you, Pastor Tillman, for 39 years being on that battlefield right here at First African. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for reminding us that the weapon is not carnal. Thank you for reminding us that there's a God who walks with us, a God who talks with us, a God who will tell us that we are his own. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us that he's still in the saving business. And there may be somebody listening to me right now and you lost. You've never accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. On this 39th anniversary for this leader, it's a good day for you to come on in. Good day for you to come on in. You can make it comments in your comment box there if you're online. It's a good day to make peace with God so that you can fight the good fight of faith. Let me tell you something. If you accept Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, let me tell you something. It's not a promise that everything is going to be smooth. It's not a promise that everybody's going to like you. It's not a promise that everything's going to go your way. But I promise you this. God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. He will always be right by your side. I will not tell you that if you accept Christ, you're never going to find yourself in a fiery furnace. But I will tell you this. I promise you this. That you'll be serving a God who will get in that furnace with you. Maybe you're lost today. Here's the good news. You don't have to stay lost. Here's the good news. You can come out of darkness into the marvelous light. So if there's one who's listening, one who's watching, you've never received Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, I want you to know it's a simple process. I know man complicates everything, but God, this is God's business. And he said this, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead. He didn't say might. He said, but thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. Confessing and believing that Christ is who he said he was and who he said he is. And then connecting with him that you may be able to fight the good fight of faith. Knowing that God is on your side. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you today. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I'm in need of salvation. I've done wrong against you. I've fallen short. God, I ask now that you come into my heart. Save me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, mold me, shape me. Make me to that person that you would have me to be. Lord, I surrender my all to you. I give it all to you right now. Knowing that you're a keeper, knowing that you do all things well, save me now. Allow me now into your kingdom. Come into my heart. Abide with me. Live with me. Right now, God, I declare salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can make a comment in your comment box and one of the members of First African will get in touch with you or wherever you are in the country. If there's a church you need to get in contact with, put it in that comment box and we'll make sure we got friends all over the country who are connected with us spiritually. But the most important thing is that you accept Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. Amen. God bless you, my beloved. Again, I thank God for the opportunity to share. And I say to Pastor Tillman, I say to my sister, Sister Tillman, and to those young ladies, we used to call those girls, those young ladies. God bless you and we love you and we thank God for you. May God's blessings, may God's peace rest upon you now.
And God bless you. Okay? Welcome. We're glad to be here and we're so glad to have this wonderful privilege to worship the Lord with you. My home church family, God bless you, First African Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia. We are so glad, elated to be able to worship God with you and this wonderful occasion to celebrate our pastor's 39th pastoral anniversary. To God be the glory, 39 years and counting. Praise God's holy name. Amen. We are so grateful to be here. I bring you greetings on behalf of my beautiful wife, Lady Barbara Rhodes, our family, and also our church family, the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, located in beautiful Brunswick, Georgia. We bring you greetings, First African Baptist Church, and Pastor Thurman Neal Tillman, and First Lady LaWanda Tillman. God bless you all. Thank God for you. And we are so happy for you as you celebrate this milestone, this wonderful occasion. Amen. To God be the glory. Saints, we are now going to have a word of prayer. We pray that you would pray with us as we seek God's face, as we prepare to hear what thus says the Lord for such an occasion as this. Amen. Let us look to heaven together. All wise and merciful Father God, we come to you, Lord, in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. For Lord God, we know that there is no other name where men would be saved. No other name, God, that we call on in the good times. And yes, God, even in the challenging times. Father, we come, Lord God, asking that you would please forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that you, God, would get all the glory and it would be for all of our good. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful occasion. Thank you for your sacred word. We pray now, God, that you speak, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in me and through me, that souls would be saved and lives would be changed for your glory and all of our good and for the good of humanity. Thank you, Lord God, for this special privilege. And we pray, oh God, that you continue to bless my pastor, bless our pastor, God, and his beautiful wife, First Lady LaWanda Tillman, oh God, for 39 more years. Amen. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you, and we glorify you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his holy name. To God be the glory. Would like to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. And in Hebrews chapter 3, we find these words in verses 1 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version of God's Word. Here is God's Word in Hebrews. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Amen. Praise his holy name. Who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Just for a moment on this morning, I would like to come from the subject, a courageous leader. A courageous leader. Amen. Saints, you know, Moses was the meekest man on earth. Amen. Notice, not the weakest man, but he was the meekest man on earth. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 tells us, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Amen. Moses was and still is a model of meekness. He might have been meek without being faithful, but he could not have been faithful without being meek. Nor could he have been courageous without being faithful. You see, there's no man's writing have been as important to intellectual history as Moses's. He is preeminently the great teacher. He taught and is still teaching the fundamentals of civil and ecclesiastical law. Moses's faithfulness were both vertical and horizontal. Vertical because he was faithful to God. Horizontal because he was faithful to his family. He was also faithful to his congregation. And Moses was faithful in all things. But here's a question for us on today. How could Moses be so faithful to God? How? How could Moses be so faithful to his family?
to God and his family? How could Moses be so faithful to God, his family, and his congregation? How could he be so faithful? How could Moses be so faithful to God, his family, his congregation, and in all things? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because here's some things I want to invite to your attention on why Moses was able to be so faithful to God, so faithful to family, to his congregation, and to those things that were appointed to him. You see, one, Moses had a courage. He had the courage of conscience. Say that with me. The courage of conscience. Moses was courageous. He had a conscience, and he paid attention to it. You see, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had a conscience. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had a conscience. Listen, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Amen. You see, Moses had a courage. He had a courage, a courageous conscience. Listen, as we go on through this message, think for a moment on who this may sound like. Hey, it may sound like somebody we're celebrating on today. Amen. Praise his holy name. And so here, we also see that not only did he refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he also gave up hope of delivering his people only reluctantly. Now, what does that mean? Here, follow me now, saints. Exodus chapter 2, verse 15. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Amen. You see, Moses, but for a moment, he left. Listen now. He left Egypt. He fled because Pharaoh was going to kill him. Amen. And so he fled, not knowing that, listen, it was all in God's divine design. Amen. And so here, God takes Moses from Egypt, 40 years of training in the house of Egypt. Now he's going to spend another 40 years, that's right, training in the desert, training how to shepherd sheep and flocks. Listen, God has a strange training program. And do you know this, that, listen, God's training program is different from each and every one of his leaders, those he called and appoint. Each of us have a different training regimen, a different training ground. Listen, every training ground isn't like the same as others. In other words, we all have different experiences. We have different trainings. We have a different way of being trained up in the Lord. And so God took Moses and he began to train him in Midian. And so we see that Moses had the courage of conscience. But not only did he have the courage of conscience, Moses also had the courage of conviction. He had the courage of conviction. You see, Moses was called by God. Exodus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says this. It says that, and Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Amen. You see, Moses, he had the courage of conviction. He was convicted. He not only was he called by God, but he also was commissioned by God. He was called and commissioned. The two goes hand in hand. God would not call someone without commissioning them. And listen, and if he commissioned someone, you can best believe he had called that someone. You see, we know, we hear that, you know, some are called and some call themselves. Well, not here in the case of Moses, and especially not in the case of Pastor Thurman Neal Tillman. You see, God not only called Moses, God called Pastor Thurman Neal Tillman, called him and commissioned him, listen now, 39 years ago and counting. And so here in the scripture where we see that Moses was called, Pastor Tillman was called. Moses was commissioned by God. Pastor Tillman is commissioned by God. Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 and 12 shows this commissioning. In fact, it says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. And so God, God would not call Moses and commission Moses and send Moses by himself. No, God called him and commissioned him, listen now, and will be with him. And it's the same for Pastor Tillman, and it's the same for every child of God, that when God calls us, listen now, he may not have called you to the pastorate or to the ministry of preaching the gospel, but he's called you to ministry nonetheless. And so if God called you, and he has, then he will commission you. And if he has commissioned you, which he has, then he will be with you. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. And so we see here that Moses was called and commissioned by God. But thirdly, watch this now. Moses had the courage of consecration. Thank you, Lord God. Moses had the courage of consecration. Listen, he identified himself with his people. Exodus chapter 4, verses 19 and 20 says this. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead, my Lord. So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. Saints of God, understand this, that Moses had the courage of consecration, that the Lord God told Moses, listen, that he can go back. Now, in fact, you will go back, because all the people that were seeking to kill you, all the ones that were seeking to harm you, they are dead. Don't you know that God, listen, he didn't just do that in the past. God does that today in the present. Amen. Listen, people who just choose to be stumbling blocks instead of stepping stones, people who just choose to be a difficult and mean-spirited and ornery, the people who just choose to be just hateful and spiteful. Listen, all the child of God needs to do is be still and know that God is God. And it won't be long, I'm telling you. It seemed like a long time, but God has a way of moving mountains. God has a way of leveling the playing field. God has a way of moving out the troublemakers. Oh, he has a way, saints. Let me tell you, listen, there hadn't been a nut yet that God couldn't crack. Amen. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah, Lord God. Amen. And so we find that Moses had the courage of consecration. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 says it this way. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses chose to be with the people, to be among the people, than to be amongst, listen now, Egypt. And the riches of Egypt, to be in that sinful condition. He chose to be with the people, his people. Thank you, Lord God. And lastly, watch this now. Moses had the courage of communion. Amen. He had the courage of communion. Praise his holy name. He communed with God for his people. Moses did that. Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, says it this way. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw, he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Praise God. Listen, he communed with God for his people. Moses had the courage of communion. And so when he said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Listen now, why the bush is not burned. There's a fire, but it's not consumed. Now, understand this. Watch this now. When Moses paid God attention, when he chose to pay attention to God, watch this, then God chose to pay attention to him. You see, listen, people want God to pay attention to them. They want God to pay attention to their situation and those circumstances, the trials, the tribulations. They want God to pay attention to them and what they're going through, but they don't want to pay any attention to God. How is that? Listen, don't get it twisted. Understand this, that we pay attention to God first and foremost, and then God pays attention to us. He wants to see. Listen, is this just the flavor of the month? Are you just saved this month, or will you be saved next month? Listen, is this a real thing with you? Are you truly looking, seeking after God and His will, His word, and His way? If you are, understand this. Understand that God will pay attention to you, but He wants to see. Listen now, are you going to pay attention to Him? See, Moses wanted to see, how is it that this bush isn't burning? It's a fire in it, but it's not being consumed. Understand this, when you pay attention to God. Listen, there may be some times when you're in a hot place, a heated place. You might be in a furnace, and folks are going to be looking at you wondering, what's going on? Listen, he ought to be burned up. She ought to be consumed. They ought to have been done, burned up the ashes. They're in the hot seat. But they're not being consumed. They're not withering away. They're going through it as though, and they're going through it with a smile on their face. My Lord, understand this. When you pay attention to the Lord will pay attention to you. Just like the three Hebrew boys that were in the fiery furnace because they refused to bow. They refused to be conformed. And listen now, to the pattern of the world. Everybody's bowing. Everybody's bowing to the Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. Everybody but the three Hebrew boys, praise God's holy name. They chose not to bow, but they chose to go into the fiery furnace. Praise God. And when you choose to pay attention to what God says, when you choose to pay attention to God, even when it's all on the line, God will pay attention to you. Yes, He will. Oh, because the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fiery furnace and they threw three bound in the fiery furnace, but he saw four walking around loose. And then when he called them out, he said, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. He called them out. Three came out. Oh, did you catch that right? Did you catch that? Understand this. He threw three in, but when he looked and he saw four, when he called them out, three came out. What happened to the fourth one? He's Jesus, I tell you. Understand this, that when you pay attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will pay attention to you, no matter how hot the situation may get, no matter how heated it may be, no matter how uncomfortable it may seem at first. Understand this, that He will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. Praise God's holy name. Amen. So he communed with God for His people, but He also communed with the people for God. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23 says this. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Praise God's holy name. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Praise God's holy name. Saints, understand this, that when we take time to commune with the people for God, understand that there may be some times when you may be missing something or you're in need of something. Understand this. Listen, the people here, they cried out to Moses. They were blaming Moses. Well, what are we going to drink? And Moses, listen now, Moses, he knew where his help come from. His help came from the Lord. And he cried out to God. And God showed him a log. And he took the log, threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Praise God's holy name. Listen to this, saints. Understand this, that God is saying that if the people would just diligently listen to the voice of God, and if they would just do right in the Lord's eyes, and give ear to his commandments, not only just hear them, but to actually do them, to take the word of God from the pages of the Bible into the practice of their life, then God would, listen now, not put any of the diseases that he placed on the Egyptians on his people. Oh, saints, understand this. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Saints of God, understand this. Listen, today, we're still in this pandemic. Today, I know they're giving out now shots, vaccinations and shots and things of this nature. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Understand this, though. There is one antidote. His name is Jesus. Listen, God is Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals us. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's the God who's our constant companion. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who is our provider. Oh, saints of God, understand this, that when we take time to have the courage that Moses had, when we take time to listen and to see what the Lord, what the Lord is all about, then when we take time to pay attention to God, God will pay attention to us. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And when we do that, we'll remember. We'll remember that Jesus was courageous. Yes, He was, because He was whipped all night one night. You know He was. And you know the story, First AB. He was whipped all night one night. Listen, he didn't even resemble human form, but He never complained. The Bible says, he took our cross up to Calvary. They threw Him down on the cross, hammered nails into the flesh of His hands, hammered nails into the flesh of His feet. They stood Him up high and stretched Him out wide. And on the cross, He died, He did. Yes, He did. He died on Friday. And they then took His lifeless body, placed it in a borrowed tomb, in the rock of our salvation. Stayed in a rock, sealed with a rock, all day Friday, all night Friday night, all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night. But I'm so glad that early Sunday morning, Jesus the Christ got up from the grave with all power, with victory over death, with power over the enemy. Listen, the devil couldn't beat Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't keep Him. He got up with all power. And I'm so glad, because He got up, we can get up. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for such a time as this. Amen, amen, and amen again. Praise His holy name. Saints of God, listen, we are now going to open up. Praise His name. Ooh, glory to God. Praise His holy name. We're now going to open up the invitation to discipleship. Listen, if you know someone who isn't saved, if they're seated by you right now, if they're in your household, or listen, or if there's a close friend, maybe a co-worker, a fellow employee, listen, call them right now if they're not with you. If there's somebody in your house and you know they're not saved, call them. You better call them out the room and listen and have them to listen. Understand that to receive salvation is so simple. It's a simple thing to receive, because now it's not a simple thing to do, because we couldn't do it. But Jesus did. And all we need to do is to do what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and you are justified. And it's with your mouth in which you confess and you are saved. Amen. Praise His holy name. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God's holy name. Listen, we are grateful and thankful. If you did accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Amen. If you if you are saved, but you need to rededicate your life to Christ, then guess what? All you need to do is just, listen, rededicate your life to Christ. Quit procrastinating. Listen, turn it over to God. You can't do it by yourself, but He is right there to help you be able to do it. Amen. So God bless you. Heaven smile upon you is our prayer. We thank God for you. We praise God's name for Pastor Thurman E. Tillman and 39 years and counting in pastoral leadership. God bless you, Pastor, my pastor. God bless you, my family and I, my bride, Barbara Rhodes, my bride, my beautiful bride. We love you. We love Sister Tillman. We love your family. And First AB, we love you all as well. Listen, let me say this as we close. God gives us a special blessing in Numbers chapter 6. This blessing, this priestly blessing, is for God's children. So let's receive it right here, right now. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you, and the Lord will give you His peace. and the name of the Lord shall be placed on you, and the Lord will bless you. God bless you, First AB. God bless you, church family. We thank God for you. Let's remain, listen now, obedient to God's word, his will, and his way. Let's remain ever submissive to God's word, God's will, and God's way. And let us remain ever focused on God's word, his will, and his way. And our God gives you and me, his children, the victory. God bless you.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.